Rabbi, our meeting will be televised in the sense that it will be streamed in a live manner, but obviously I wanted to inform you which, but I wanted to. No, no, but it's okay, but please, if you want to start yourself, obviously, I mean, sure. As you wish, as you wish. Ambassador, excuse us for being only three. My colleagues from the government side have at the moment a parliamentary group meeting. But excuse even the other members of the opposition probably had other activities as well. So excuse us that we are three, but I'm sure that we can make up for this absence with our feedback and with. Thank you very much.
Okay. So, first of all, thank you for this meeting. I appreciate it very much. It's an honor for me to meet you, as always. I believe in dialogue. I believe in speaking our minds and sharing our positions. There are things that we agree on. There are things we don't agree on. But as long as we keep the dialogue channel open, there is hope for us for improvement of the situation. I'm happy to be here in Malta. I feel welcome, so thank you very much for the welcoming reception. And, of course, thank you very much for making sure the weather is good for me. So I will pass the mic to you. If you have questions, if you have things you want to express, I'll be happy to respond to anything you want to discuss regarding bilateral relations or regarding the situation in our region. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador, for taking the time to visit us another time. It's our second meeting with you. As you already underlined, and even when I was doing some research, we have excellent bilateral relationships. This year marks the 60th anniversary of these diplomatic relationships. We have signed MOUs in various on various issues about our water systems, which is Israel is on the top list with regards to its technology on management of water. With regards, we have MOUs on education, culture, sports, and I believe that this should be, as you said, our strength. We are also concerned about the situation. I have to raise it with regards to Iran and to the self-determination of the people of Iran and how this obviously impacts us, but impacts the state of Israel as a neighboring country and as a country which has already, it is in the public domain that the rulers of Iran have mentioned several times. So we express our concern and our empathy with your situation as well. And with the people, with what the people of Iran are passing at the moment. Since last meeting, obviously, the government, but it is, there is the full approval, the unanimous approval of the opposition. We recognized the state of Palestine, and I mean, I'm putting it on the table. I'm sure that you are in a disagreement with the situation, but that is our position, but this should not hinder our bilateral relations, as you said, because obviously, as you said, this is a point of disagreement, but it doesn't mean that there aren't any other forms of cooperation and lines of cooperation, which I mentioned before, and it is the position of this committee that, first of all, the end to this conflict, which is paramount, and we wish that there is a viable peace plan that can be implemented, and obviously the access to the people affected of medicine and humanitarian aid, which is paramount even as a provisional measure. And I'm going to reiterate our position. We believe that the long-term solution is a two-state solution, which Malta, through our previous leaders such as Don Mintoff, Professor Guido De Marco, and even a President Emeritus, George Vella, we were advocates of this situation, not to mention other leaders that contributed, but these come to mind. We think that this is the only permanent solution. However, as you said, we are very keen to keep, first of all, line of communication with the State of Israel, and secondly, keen on implementing forms of cooperation which Israel that are important both to the benefit, to mutual interest, both to Malta and to the State of Israel. Thank you very much, and I invite my colleagues to contribute to the meeting. Thanks you. Thank you, Honorable Farrakh Adami.
I am Dr. Farrakh Adami from the party in opposition. Dr. Zambit Lewis mentioned that we are back practically in our 65th year of bilateral 60th year of bilateral relations between Malta and Israel. That brings us way back to the 60s when then there was my party in government, the Nationalist Party, which was the party which a few years after gaining independence had already established for Malta relations with Israel. I recall as well that it was my party in government way back a couple of years when my party was still in government, which was the party which in government set up the first embassy, Maltese embassy in Israel. So that reflects a long relationship and friendship between the peoples of Malta and the people of Israel. I think there is general political consensus on having relations with Israel. I think there is general consensus that the right of Israel to exist, the right of Israel to defend itself, to the right of Israel to live in security. This committee was one of the first committees, I would say, in the European Union which had met with urgency when after the October attacks, and we unreservedly condemned the attacks which happened by Hamas in October of 2 years ago, and no qualms about that. We had an absolute condemnation of what happened then, and we still condemn what happened then. We still condemn the way innocent people were massacred on the day. We still condemn how hostages were treated. We still condemn a situation where I understand to this very day there is still one hostage who is identified, who is still in Hamas captivity and in Hamas possession. However, obviously, we saw this situation develop over the last 2 years, and we even expressed our reservations, condemnation of how things evolved at some times. And I can understand this committee went through meetings with families of hostages in this very room, and you could feel the anguish, you could feel the despair, you could feel the sorrow, you could feel the at times a sentiment that you want to get back at those who are keeping your children in captivity. However, we even condemned the way excessive force was used in trying to reestablish the aims Israel had after those attacks. It's a matter of fact, no matter what we say, that today Gaza is a flattened city. Gaza is destroyed. There are people who are not all Hamas. Hamas is there, may still be there, may be still operative, and should not be allowed to operate. However, as a matter of fact, there are hundreds of thousands of innocent people who are the victims of the way the situation was managed after the October attacks. So I express once again our non-approval, I would say, of the way things developed, which left, I think, too many innocent people who have died. We are where we are today. Today we are at a situation where there is a very, very a brokered peace and a peace plan which we'll all augur will end up towards having a situation where the people, the innocent people of Gaza and the Israelis who suffered after the attacks of October can start anew, afresh, after those terrible incidents, after these terrible 2 years, after long years of losses on both sides. So our hope is that both sides, I emphasize both sides, even from the Palestinian side, but even from the Israeli side, make the extra effort or walk the extra miles to arrive at a peace. As Mr. Chairman explained, this Malta's government has recognized the Palestinian state. I know that it is something which the state of Israel, which the Prime Minister of Israel, which many politicians of Israel have condemned. We genuinely believe that having the existence of two states and the possibility of existence of these two states living next to each other with the right to aspire, to reach their aspirations, with the right to defend themselves, the right to live in peace, the right to develop, the right to have children who have a bright future, whether they are Gazan children or Israeli children or any children in the region, is something we should aspire to. Obviously, it takes guts, it takes sacrifice, it requires a determination to try and do the right thing. That's my hope. I hope that in the coming years and months, with all the tensions which are flaring in the region, especially now with the situation in Iran, which I understand and appreciate is also a threat to Israel, which is also one of the axes which has financed and supported terrorism in Israel. However, as things are developing, we augur that the situation unblocks. Obviously, on a bilateral level, as the chairman said, over the years, it's very evident that there being two countries which are not the biggest countries in the world, but we found common ground on where we can cooperate. There were for some time back direct flights from Malta to Israel and backwards, which I think which is something which should be re-explored. There is the possibility of student exchange. There is the possibility of on a cultural level. There is the possibility of sharing our expertise on both sides in the world of innovation, in the world of technology, in the fast-changing world we are living through. So I augur that your tenure as ambassador for Israel in Malta will serve to strengthen these ties and maybe get for a better understanding between both states. Thank you.
Honourable DeMarco.
Thank you. First of all, good evening. Thank you for making time and the effort to come forward. I won't reiterate what I had to say in our previous discussion. I believe we made ourselves amply understood in our first meeting. What I'd like to say is obviously that if we really want our relationship to flourish and strengthen, obviously, there's only the road to dialogue that we can take. Between 2008 and 2013, I had the opportunity of being the minister responsible for tourism, environment, and culture. And I remember it was a record, it was a feather in all our cap, that in those years, tourism between Israel and Malta had reached a particular peak. Because I believe in the year 2011, 2012, 2013, and even soon after when you took over, Dr. Zamit Lewis, we used to get to Malta roughly some 30,000 tourists from Israel to Malta every single year. Just to put things into perspective, in 2024, which are the last official figures that we have, the number of tourists from Israel to Malta went down to something like 3,200. So there has been a drastic reduction in the number of tourists from Israel to Malta, whereas a few years back we had a significant number of tourists who felt very, very comfortable coming to Malta. And needless to say, there are many similarities between our two respective countries, both in terms of history, but in terms of climate. As you rightly pointed out, the climate between Malta and Tel Aviv is very similar. Also very similar, to a large degree, similar lifestyles. So obviously there's a lot which can be redone to again engage in this tourism industry, which I always believe is the most people-driven economic activity. And it's that economic activity which brings a lot of meeting of cultures at the end of the day. And I think that always helps the development of relationships between two respective peoples. Secondly, we all know that the Israeli people, in terms of economic activity, in terms of technology, are very enterprising. If you look at also our desalination processes in Malta, we stand where we stand today, also thanks to Israeli technology. I mean, the whole idea that we can actually have one of the driest countries in the Mediterranean could have an indefinite supply of water because of the sea that surrounds us is also thanks to technology that we engaged with through our cooperation with Israel. And obviously today there are different other areas where we can see an engagement in terms of the human resource and the aspirations of two people. We have a young generation of entrepreneurs here in Malta who are very, 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 very enterprising, okay, and I'm sure that we both have a lot to learn from them. So I think within the right climate and within the right dimension, further cooperation can be done. Needless to say, that doesn't mean that we don't have our own respective reservations. I mean, before we spoke about the cold and the weather over here, it is cold in these 2 months, and obviously I think my heart and all our hearts go out to those people in Gaza who are living in tents in these current.
Also my heart.
Absolutely. So there's a lot. We all make mistakes in life, and we all can learn from mistakes, and I think we all need to understand the way forward. Beyond the past, we need to look forward to the future. And I think we need to move on to the phase two of the peace process as soon as possible. I think it's in everybody's interests. It's in everybody's interest to have a normalization of processes, of relations. We also need to be a bit concerned about what's happening in the West Bank. And I think we need to obviously the Israeli government needs to make sure that the situation over there doesn't escalate. So we are all in favour of a de-escalation of the situation that is currently happening. But beyond what's happening in the West Bank, beyond what happened and what is still happening in Gaza, we're obviously greatly concerned about what's happening in the larger region. Dr. Zamikou has rightly pointed out, and Dr. Fenekadam rightly pointed out, to what's happening in Iran. A people that have been oppressed by a regime for so many years, a people that want ultimately to live in peace and want to progress forward rather than be oppressed by a tyrannical regime, which is the Iranian regime. Okay, so obviously we are all following what is happening. Obviously, there's no easy solution, because at the end of the day, we also have to be careful as to what repercussions there are don't affect in a way the innocent civilian population, but at the same time we have to give our full support unequivocally to those brave people who are taking to the streets, risking their lives, many of whom have also lost their lives, and others who are facing execution because simply they dare to protest for their human rights. So obviously we're living in very, very, very difficult times. The whole region that you live in as well is living through very testing times. So in that respect, you have our full support. So where we have to criticize, we feel we have to criticize. But rest assured that our criticism is not born out of any sense of prejudice. It's simply because we all like speaking our minds, but at the same time, we have also our concern for Israel in a time where the Middle East is again becoming a burning hot pot. So hence why peace in the region, from all dimensions, whether it's peace for the Israeli people, whether it's peace for the Palestinian people, whether it's peace for the Iranian people who want democracy in their country and respect for human rights. Peace does not grow overnight. Peace has to be worked on. And the only way towards peace is dialogue. And I will conclude with that, that whatever we do, we must always keep the channel of dialogue open. Without that, we only fall into an abyss.
Thank you, Honorable DeMarco. Please, Ambassador.
I will start with a simple truth, and that is when somebody tells me that they're going to kill me, I, especially after the 7th of October, I believe them. And I'm diverting from everything I thought I should share with you, because listening to you, I understand how far we are in looking at reality. We want peace. We've been working towards peace for generations. We teach our children that we want peace. There are peace songs and everything. Everybody wants peace. Nobody wants war. And putting together the two sides, meaning us and Hamas on the same level, is really not addressing the reality as it should be. We are a democratic state with all the problems that a democratic state has. I mean, I look at the politics in Malta or any other country, it's not very different than our politics. Different people, different positions, different challenges of countries and societies, but this is the way it is. We are a democracy, a very live democracy, with rule of law and with regulations, the same as any other Western democracy. On the other side, there is a terrorist entity. And this terrorist entity cannot stay next door to us because they have already proved that they are good for their word. For years they've been saying in their founding documents that one of their goals is to destroy Israel. And they were good for their word on more than once before the 7th of October and for sure on the 7th of October. So I need to maybe communicate to you as a person how deep the crisis of trust is within the Israeli society, including in those circles who were very active on peace building, on community building between us and the Palestinians, in those circles as well. So the trust is beyond the tragedy, and this is a crisis that will take time to rebuild. And this is part of the path that we need to take in order to reach the probability of having peace with our neighbors. So you are right. There is a lot to be done. There is a need for courage. There is a need for strong and probably painful decisions to be taken in order to move forward. But the first and foremost important step is to make sure that no terrorist entity is threatening not only the life of Israelis, but also the life of Palestinians. Okay? We are within the 20-point program that President Trump has presented. The first step was to return all hostages. We still have one hostage there, and they are not giving him back for some reason. And I think, in my opinion, it's because they know that the next step is laying down their weapons and getting rid of all the leadership of Hamas that is running the terror group, and then trying to rebuild Gaza as a normal place for people to live. So this is something to take into consideration and put the pressure in the right place. Yes, we are the stronger side of the equation, but the other side is playing in means that are very far from any understanding of any democracy. They are using the rule of terror. On the same day that the ceasefire was announced, a few months ago. On the same day, Hamas operatives went on the street and started killing people and torturing people under the false pretense that they are spies for Israel, cooperating with Israel and so on, just to establish their force again on the streets of Gaza. They have been occupying Gaza and terrorizing their own population throughout the years since 2007, and you guys know the history better than me. I would like to move forward about Iran. We look very closely on what's going on in Iran, and I think one of the strongest indicators that the situation is deteriorating, we've been looking at it on the last 2 weeks, we're not just considered or worried about it. We really think the world should join hands in order to do something about what's going on in Iran. You said very rightly that for quite a few decades the people of Iran are living under an oppressive regime. And one of the indicators is that in the last weekend all communication from Iran was stopped by the regime. And this means that they have moved to much more violent measures, and some of the photos that managed to come out are really shocking. So this is something to take into consideration, and if you really want to do something for the people of Iran, I think a very essential step is to establish that the Revolutionary Guards are a terror organization, because this is exactly what they are. Not only now, while oppressing the Iranian population, but already for decades they've been oppressing the population. I don't know if you remember the phase around demonstrations for Mahsa Amini when she was murdered by the Revolutionary Guards people. And also before that, in other situations, they were deeply involved in arming Hezbollah, arming Hamas, arming the jihadist fractions in Iraq and in Syria. So they were the long arm of Iran around our region, creating this axis of terror that terrorized the whole region, not just Israel. We cannot sit aside and wait for them to destroy us. As I said, we believe when somebody tells us that they will destroy us. At least I feel we should, and I believe our leadership also is very attentive. So I ask the Parliament of Malta to do the step and establish that the Revolutionary Guards, it's a Parliament decision that they are a terror organization and they should be outlawed in Europe. I know other parliaments in Europe have already done that, and others are considering doing that, including the European Parliament. And I have to, at this point, in this circle of friends, give a really word of appreciation, deep appreciation to Her Excellency Roberta Metsola. She took a real clear leadership position about the situation in Iran when other leaders were monitoring, debating, and talking. She was straight to the point. She showed leadership. She showed courage, exactly what is needed these days for the people of Iran. So this is something to take into consideration, and I hope you will take this step and take this measure against the Revolutionary Guards as a move from statements of consideration or being worried about the situation to something that will actually have some effect on the people of Iran on the ground. Regarding the bilateral relations and the disagreements, you talked about the plummeting of the number of tourists from Israel. I have to tell you that on general, in the Israeli public, the impression, which is not necessarily the right impression, I believe that together with your ambassador in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, we can work on it. The general impression is that Malta is anti-Israeli and that it's unpleasant atmosphere. I have to tell you, I can say exactly the opposite. It's a pleasant place. I speak with the Jewish community here. they feel very safe here, they feel part of the country, they are not afraid to go with any signs of Judaism, including kippah or any others. They feel that the authorities are attentive, the police is always there when they need it, when they do events, they get security that is good enough or more than good enough for them to be in the public sphere. So this is a big compliment to the Maltese society and the Maltese authorities on how you are treating your own citizens. In some countries, they don't. The Jews are not feeling safe these days in light of the wave of anti-Semitism that is going around the world. So this is very much appreciated, also from me personally and, of course, the State of Israel. Please pass it to the right authorities. We should work on the reputation, on this issue of how Malta is being perceived in Israel. I was in a meeting with Visit Malta, and we spoke about the renewing of the direct flight that will make it easier for both our people to meet, because it's easier to go directly from Valletta or from Malta to Tel Aviv and vice versa than going through all kinds of connections, which makes it harder to connect. And at the end of the day, meeting the people is the thing that will enable us to get a stronger connection. Within that, I believe there should be an investment in a campaign to improve the image in the eyes of Israelis. Israelis love to travel. They love to explore new places. And, I mean, they would find in Malta everything close to the heart. Good food, good, beautiful scenery, history, everything that you can ask for in a tourist destination. So I'm sure, and plus Jewish history here is well established, and I believe this is a good starting point for a good connection between people. A cooperation, of course. I've been exploring the last few days all kinds of alleys for cooperation around innovation, around technology. I know that not only water desalination you have here also a tech company that does other things for the Ministry of Interior as a service of technology. So this is very much appreciated. We are an established high-tech country, and there is a lot we can share and cooperate on. And we've been exploring that in the last few days, and hopefully we will make progress. Yes, we have a lot of MOUs and agreements, but they were left as a word on a paper, and now we're trying to look for ways to fill it with action and things to do. So this is also my duty and your ambassador's duty in Tel Aviv. And all in all, I am optimistic about the relations of between our two countries. And but we really need. I appreciate very much your words about supporting us and supporting the State of Israel's existence and the right of Israel to defend itself. But sometimes things that you do and say go to the extreme, and please remember that it's being heard also in Israel, and it reflects on the way the public sees the position as well, not only our political level. And also I would like to point out that reality from afar is very much different than reality on the ground, so I cordially invite you to visit Israel and get your first impression. Even if you have already been, things change, and it will always be, you will always be welcome in Israel to visit. So thank you very much for your time and for what you're doing. It was a pleasure to sit with you.
So therefore, visiting us, it was a very healthy meeting, and obviously we'll keep in touch. Thank you very much. Thank you. So am I right? Mela, qed nirreferi għal minuti tal-aqa numru 49 datata 3 ta' Diċembru tas-sena 2025 u qed noħodha l-onorevoli membri tal-Kumitat qed jaqblu mal-minuti nistgħu nadduhom bħala approvati u Matter Rising li sejqa jem l-onorevoli Beppe Fenekada.
Naturalment. Il-kolla din insegu dak li jgħat seħ madwarna prezentament fuq livell internazzjonali. Huwa f'dana il-kuntest, Mr. Chairman, li jiena rrid illum din il-laqa nġib akkognizzjoni ta' dan il-Kumitat is-sitwazzjoni li qiegħda tiżviluppa fuq livell internazzjonali dak li għandu x'jaqsam. Danimarka u Greenland u l-statements li nisiju fil-konfront ta' dana il-pajis li għandhom il-reperkussjonijiet u il-ramifications tagħhom. Jiġri llum għandna sitwazzjoni fejn sal-lum Danimarka u Greenland taqa' taħt il-governanza tal-Danimarka u qed isiru diversi statements b'mod partikolari mill-Istati Uniti fil-konfront ta' dana l-istat ta' fatt illum illi Greenland għandha ssir parti mill-Istati Uniti. L-appell tiegħi, l-appell ta' dan il-Kumitat għandu jkun fil-sema tiegħi illi l-ewwel nett nifhmu illi l-affarijiet ma jsirux hekk, illi hemm il-liġi internazzjonali hemm is-sovranità ta' pajjiżi illi qiegħda tiġi mittiefsa statements bħal dawn, hemm kwistjonijiet ta' bażiċi ta' demokrazija li l-istati għandhom dritt li jiddefendu t-territorju tagħhom illi l-popli fl-istati għandhom ikunu huma jiddeterminaw il-futur tagħhom. U allura l-proposta tiegħi kienet illi dan il-Kumitat għandu jgħaddi riżoluzzjoni kif ġiri jagħmel dwar diversi materji oħra f'dan ir-rigward. Jiena preparajt riżoluzzjoni ta' għal dan il-Kumitat li jekk permettili mixtwila qed nipproponi li għandha tiġi qudiem dan il-Kumitat għall approvazzjoni jew le jew illum jew inkella fis-stadju ulterjuri. For the record jiena għaddejt kopja ta' dina il-riżoluzzjoni di dikjarazzjoni
għal-ħabta
ta' erba' nofsinhar lill-kollega lill-ċermet ta' dal-Kumitat. Li tajt hekk. Dikjarazzjoni tal-Kumitat tal-Affarijiet Barranin Ewropew tal-Parlament ta' Malta, l-Kumitat tal-Affarijiet Barranin Ewropew tal-Parlament ta' Malta jesprimi it-tħassib tiegħu dwar stqarrijiet pubbliċi riċenti rigwardaw il-futur u l-istatus ta' Greenland dwar dawn l-istqarrijiet joħolqu inċertezza u jistgħu jdajfu prinċipi stabiliti fir-relazzjonijiet internazzjonali li huma fundamentali għall istabilità u l-paċi globali. Il-Kumitat jitenni li l-futur ta' Greenland huwa kwistjoni tiġi deċiża biss mill-gvern ta' Danimarka u l-pop ta' Greenland innifsu skont ir-rida demokratika tiegħu u b'rispett sħiħ lejn il-qafas kostituzzjonali u legali r-regola relazzjoni bejn Greenland u Danimarka li hija membru tal-Unjoni Ewropea. Dan il-kuntest il-Kumitat jenfasizza l-importanza tal-rispett għad-dritt tal-popli għall-autodeterminazzjoni eżeċitat b'mod paċifiku u permezz ta' proċessi demokratiċi. Deċiżjonijiet dwar il-governanza, s-sovranità jew l-allineament internazzjonali għandhom isiru bażla libera u informata minn daw direttament inkonċernati mingħajr forza jew interferenza esterna. Il-Kumitat tal-Affarijiet Barranin Ewropej ifakkar ukoll li f'kull ħin il-prinċipju inqusin tal-Karti ta' Nazzjonijiet Uniti għandhom jiġu rispettati. Dawn jinkludi b'mod partikolari ir-rispett tas-sovranità tal-istati, l-integrità territorjali tal-pajjiż u l-inviolabilità tal-fruntieri. Dawn il-prinċipji huma impediment tal-ordni legali internazzjonali huma essenzjali biex tinżamm il-fiduċja l-kooperazzjoni stabilita bejn il-popli. il-kubitati notar il-diskorsi oċjonijiet li jpoġġu dawn il-prinċipju f'dubju jista' joħolqu preċedent perikollu se dajfu il-multilateralizmu u jikkontribwixxu għall-insigurtà globali. Intennu l-osservanza ta' dritt internazzjonali u diplomazija responsabbli huma aktar meħtieġa minn qatt qabel. Għal da' stant il-Kumitat tal-Affarijiet Barranin Ewropej jappella lill-partijiet kollha biex jaġixxu b'rashom jirrispettaw il-qafas legali stabilit u jerġgħu jikkonfermaw l-impenn tagħhom lil il-prinċipju tal-Karta Nazzjonijiet Uniti. Dan il-Kumitat se jkompli jsegwi mill-qrib li żviluppi jafferma mill-ġdid l-appoġġ tiegħu għall-Kumitat Internazzjonali stabbli, paċifika u li tosserva l-liġi. Din hija il-dikjarazzjoni illi jiena f'isem il-membri tal-Oppożizzjoni tal-Kumitat qed nipproponi li għandha tiġi quddiem dan il-Kumitat għall-approvazzjoni o meno tiegħu.
Se ċaġa l-onorevole Damar, perché la sua?
Io non seconda la risoluzione proposta, è che mi sta a proporre di Danimarca è un paese formante parte dell'Unione Europea, di Achman formava parte minna, o Danimarca è un po' parte minnato, ovviamente, di Tahao, o gli Stati Uniti, o Movembi. Quindi allora, ovviamente, hanno l'appello, hanno una, e lì, hanno detto, in rispetto, che għal drittijiet li għanda Danimarka bħala pajjiż membru sħiħ tal-Unjoni Ewropea li aħna membru sħiħ tiegħu u bħala membru tan-NATO li aħna veru m'aħniex membru tiegħu, però ovvjament li aħna wkoll għandna assoċjazzjoni u rabtiet miegħu. Jiġri jekk irridu nirrispettaw verament is-salta tad-dritt u dritt internazzjonali pubbliku, ovvjament dak kollu qed jingħad fil-konfront ta' Greenland. Li tifra parti semi-autonoma ta' Danimarka, ovvjament, jikontradiċi kull prinċipju ta' dritt internazzjonali pubbliku.
Ringrazzja l-Onorevole Damar Kollo, l'Onorevole Beppe Fenech Adami, m'hemmx dubju id-dikjarazzjoni għaddit li ċirka l-erba ta' wara nofsinhar u għaddejta biex tiġi diskussa mal-kollegi, però m'hemmx dubju li qed jgħid li l-ilm id-dikjarazzjoni li għalu l-onorevoli membri minnaħa tal-oppożizzjoni huwa konsern m'hemmx dubju fondat, għandek territorju li huwa sa ċertu punt autonomu Greenland li jifforma parti mir-renju ta' Danimarka li huwa stat membru tal-Unjoni Ewropea illi qed jiġi medet b'dikjarazzjonijiet fej jidher in-nuqqas ta' rispett lej dritt internazzjonali lej regoli bażiċi tal-komunità internazzjonali u lej s-sadna ta' dritt mod b'regoli wkoll li ma tapplikawx biss domestiċi huma internazzjonali ġifieri għal dak li huwa l-konsern. Nirringrazzjakom li qajmtuha fl-ewwel laqgħa illi qamet inkwantu għad-dikjarazzjoni jiena nemmen ftit fl-intempestività tagħha fis-sens illi hemm laqgħaddejja bħalissa ġewwa Washington bejn il-Ministeru tal-Affarijiet Barranin ta' Danimarka u membri tal-amministrazzjoni Trump li ħanipproponi u ħanajt li hija l-pożizzjoni tan-naħa tiegħi huwa li d-dikjarazzjoni għalkemm din in-naħa qed tgħid li ma tiġix adottata llum għaliex hija pjuttost intempestiva għalkemm naqbel mal-ispirtu tagħha. M'hemmx dubju li tibqa' wan li tiġi diskussa wkoll fid-dawl ta' żviluppi li jistgħu jinqalgħu fis-sigħat jew fil-jiem li ġejjin, terġa' titqejjem fil-laqgħa li jmiss u jiena bħala chairperson ukoll nirriserva li nkellem l-onorevoli membri tal-Oppożizzjoni jekk ikun hemm bżonn ukoll issir laqgħa ad hoc fuq dan is-suġġett fejn mhux biss tiġi mistħarġa u diskussa id-dikjarazzjoni li jagħmel l-Onorevoli Fenech Adami, però jkun hemm u koll feedback minnaħa tal-Ministeru tal-Affarijiet Barranin u Ewropew fuq dan is-suġġett nkunu nistgħu nidħlu b'mod speċifiku fuq dan is-suġġett. Grazzi.
Mela, jiena ħa nissuġġerixxi fil-kuntest ta' din ir-riżoluzzjoni, naturalment ħa ngħaddi lek kopja ja li kopja li ġiet iċċirkolata ilek onorevoli Zomit Lewis. Napprezza li tajtilek illum wara nofsinhar wara li provajt li komunikar miha iktar kbir li ma marniex xiniex ma ġara xejn ekku. Jiena li tipproponi huwa li allura niffissaw laqgħa ta' dan il-kumitat ma nafx nhar it-tnejn li ġej one time early next week u qed nipproponi wkoll illi għal din il-laqgħa u koll niddiskutu u forsi nittu u koll posizjoni bħala komitat fuq situazzjoni kif qed iżvolġi ġewwa l-Iran. Jiġifieri jiena naħseb li dan il-kumitat għandu l-obbligu, l-obbligu legali u morali illi f'sitwazzjonijiet kif din jiżvolġu, kif fil-kwistjoni ta' Greenland, però wkoll fil-kwistjoni li qed iżvolġi l-Iran li dan il-kumitat tal-affarijiet barranin Ewropej jieħu pożizzjoni f'dawn il-materja. Allura qed nitlob Mr. Chairman li forsi ma nafx nhar it-tnejn li ġej, nhar it-tnejn nhar it-tliet issa naraw meta issir fejn jiġu diskussi dawn iż-żewġ materji li qed nipproponi għandhom jiġu diskussi.
Bil-minna ħadd tiegħi ovvjament nintaqgħu jum uħin fil-qrib bejn il-partijiet. Grazzi. Niddikjara ningrazzja l-onorevoli membri, l-segretar tal-komitat u l-issur Ian Paul Bajada li baqa' magħna hawnhekk jassistina u niddikjara laqgħa magħluqa. Grazzi.